You watch it, and then you go watch a Disney movie afterwards, and it gets you all.
This is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Hello and welcome to Screen View, episode 20, March 20th, 2012. This is a bit of a special edition. We are doing a Walking Dead season 2 finale recap. Everything to talk about our frustrations and everything. How are you guys doing before we get into that?
I'm good.
Good. Good, yeah.
How are you guys?
I'm just glad I got a chance to see the, you know, episode end before we had this podcast.
I think we would have accompanied it elsewise if we couldn't all have watched it.
Yeah.
We would have just not done it. But first, we will...
Box office report. And now, we talk about...
Oh, God. That
didn't work out. Really?
Anyway.
No.
The movies. 21 Jump Street wins the box office, and John Carter continues to flop.
Can I just say that I'm a little surprised how much it dropped? Although, as weird as it seems to say... you know, movies typically drop off their second week, but I figured that people would be like, what the hell is this movie? The first week, and not a lot of people would go see it, but then it would kind of get word of mouth because people would say, you know what, it's a pretty good popcorn movie, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I figured it would have only dropped off like maybe 25% because I figured it would have got some people going.
But it's an action film, so most action films drop about 50% in their first
week. Most movies drop about 50%.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, I don't know. I just figured that word of mouth would have got around a little bit, and the people who did see it would be like, no, it was, you know, it's a really good junk food movie. Go see it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
But, you know.
But it's kind of surprising. But so The Lorax dropped to number 2, John Carter number 3 with only $13 million. That means it's only made $53 million so far in the domestic box office. We'll get to some news about John Carter in a little bit, but continuing with number 4, Project X, Act of Valor, 1,000 Words, which made a lot of money considering it's an Eddie Murphy movie, and I would just avoid Eddie Murphy movies at all costs at this point. But
yeah,
I didn't even know it was released.
Yeah, you're better off not.
Right? I mean, I heard about it, and then it was just like, you know, oh, look, it's the second week of theaters.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really get very good reviews either. Surprising that it got so much money. Let's see. 1,000 Words got 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it's quite a feat. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
Safe House, The Journey 2, Casa de Mi Padre, which is kind of surprising. That's 382 theaters made $2.2 million, which is a lot. And it beat This Means War rounds out the top 10.
It's entirely in Spanish, that movie?
Yeah, it's subtitles, yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of weird, right? This week, only one mass release. Everybody has avoided this week because of the Hunger Games, insanity. I guess the insanity is that even though the tracking companies, the services... they're trying to be conservative, and it's still $82 million to $115 million for the first opening weekend.
Okay, I don't understand what that means. What does that mean?
So there's like a
project. They're guessing how much money it's going to make this weekend.
Okay. So they're projecting, there is a potential for it to make $130 million to $140 million.
Mm-hmm.
Would either of you be shocked that if it didn't make $100 million this weekend?
I probably would be pretty shocked because it seems like it's really been hyped, and a lot of people that have already read the books are, you know, they're already on board with, oh, it was so good, they're going to go see it because of the books. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Lionsgate considers anything above $100 million to be a success.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because considering...
Gonna make money on top of that no matter what.
Yeah, 1 million tickets have apparently been sold through Fandango and MovieTickets.com already. They have sold out 1,200 shows so far. It is playing also in IMAX, and it has sold out 150 midnight screenings, and are now adding 3 a.m. screenings. And IMAX is what, like 16, 17 bucks versus your regular movie ticket, which is like, what, 12, 13 bucks? So that's pretty fantastic. It's making a lot of money because not only are the girlfriends and the wives dragging their husbands there, the guys actually want to watch it. Over the age of 25, who list the film as their first choice, has leapt from 20% a week ago to 36%, and from 20% to 35% among males under the age of 25.
There's a sentence here that says they're hitting it out of the park when it comes to all audience segments. Some one veteran film executive, no matter how you slice and dice it, this is an all audience four quadrant movie. That's crap. Because.
What, your parents won't watch it, you don't think?
Well, my parents are going to go, but it's not a movie that my dad would say, hey, I want to see that movie. When you slice and dice it, this is an all-audience, four-quadrant movie, it means I'm making money on two adult people because wives are going to drag their husbands to it. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right. Well, like the middle-aged
My dad is not knocking down the door to go see The Hunger Games. He has no idea what it is.
Right, well, the middle-aged wives will drag the husbands, and then the younger kids will be like, oh, I want to go see this as well with my girlfriend or my wife.
I want to see the first one, and we'll probably get into it when we do, you know, I think we're all going to go see it and then do a review on it. I think that's the plan. My problem with the whole Hunger Games as a whole is that it's not each book anyway is not beginning, middle, end.
No.
It's beginning, middle, 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 end. And it's like
it's more like
it drove me crazy.
It's more like go ahead. I'm sorry.
I expected there to be an end and then like a cliffhanger and then be like, okay, now there's a reason to go and tell another story. But it was just like the first book, it never ended.
Yeah, it's more it's more like the first book and. The way the second book seems to be trending is it beginning, middle, 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 second book. Middle, 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 third book.
This is typical of a trilogy, though. I mean, sometimes you're going to get a satisfying end and sometimes not. And the author sounds like they were just kind of pulling people along. And then, of course, I also heard that the ending is not as satisfying as a lot of people expected it to be.
Yeah.
So
I saw that the reviews, the third one wasn't as good. The other ones were pretty high up there. But,
I had a lot of people say that they did not like the ending, and I thought, oh, okay, so this is one of those ones I'm going to wait for a little while before I start going, okay, I'm going to go read it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you haven't read it yet? I'm sorry.
I haven't, unfortunately.
I'm sorry. I thought you did. I'm so sorry.
I haven't.
Okay. No.
I just haven't hear you guys describe how you have the middle. It won't faze me one bit. I'll still read it.
That'll add a good perspective, though, because we've read it, John, you and I, and Amy hasn't. So it would be a different perspective for the.
It's just like I said, when I read it, and I knew it was getting towards the end. I read it on my Nook, so it's not like, oh, I could see there's only 10 pages left, but you could tell how many pages are left. I knew it was getting towards the end, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of story to wrap up before they finish this book, and it was just like, you know, that ended, and I was like, what?
It should have said at the end, continue to book two.
And it's not like when I read a book when there's a trilogy of books out by the same author, I don't typically go, you know, right from one to the next one because I don't know. I feel like it gives me a little bit to like back off and get away from the story a little bit and then think about it and then go back.
Yeah.
And like read another book and then
that's what I do too.
So I was like, I don't want to go right into it. And I didn't and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot, you know, it didn't end and then, you know, it picks back up. It picks back up really nicely in the beginning of the second book, but it's not like It's not right.
Yeah.
Is this very typical of a trilogy that because you don't want to make a book that's that long because who's going to read it?
Right.
I mean, if they kept the whole book together no one would read it. But if you put it in three like that and have it in bits and like that, it's a different way of doing, you know, stories, beginning, middle, and end.
I've read a lot of books by this author named James Rollins, and he does it's all separate stories contained in one book, you know, but he uses the same characters over and over and over again, And it's sort of the same situations and, you know, this and that. And it's like they all go together and you have to read this one before you read this one because you don't want to know who these characters are. But that's kind of more what I expected. Not that I didn't like it. It was okay. I thought it kind of dragged along a little bit, but I'll go see the first movie, and then we'll see from there.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's trending for... Well, it is trending with a lot of cash, so you'll see. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. We'll talk about it next week. Woohoo!
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. Back to John Carter really quickly. Apparently, it'll cost Disney $200 million in operating costs that they're going to have to write down because it has made crap. It has done nothing so pretty much at the end of this quarter, ending March 31st, Disney's second fiscal quarter, the studio segment will post a loss of $80 million to $120 million. During the same quarter a year ago, Disney reported an operating profit of $77 million. So that's a pretty big difference. But... the analysts and stuff say that it's okay.
Look, they have the Avengers coming out. They have another Pixar movie coming out this year. They're not losing money by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, and that's what the analysts are saying, right? Because it's like, look at all these films that are going to project it to be like box office. Oh, blockbusters, so you'll be fine.
It's hard to feel bad. I mean, it's hard to feel bad because, you see, they lost $200 million. But to me, that's, that's funny money. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not even a real amount to me. It's like playing Monopoly.
Right. So, I don't know. Let's ask you guys about this. You cheated, so you saw the show notes. But what do you think about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles becoming the Teenage Alien Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, it didn't spoil me. It was actually something I saw on Twitter last night, and I thought... Seriously?
The outrage.
And the first phrase that came to mind is, "You're doing it wrong."
Right.
Can you just tell me the first two words you see in this article?
Michael Bay.
Right. Yeah, so...
who has faith that he's going to do something true to the story?
Right, right. So, for those who don't know, Michael Bay was at the Nickelodeon Upfronts, which... is basically just teasing what's going on in Nickelodeon. So Nickelodeon is coming out with a television series based on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 2013. This fall, I apologize. And then next Christmas will be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film produced by Paramount. Which means, apparently Michael Bay is included. I did not know he was producing this film.
Look, If they were going to do a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that was true to the source material, it would be rated R or worse. Because they were very violent.
Right, right.
And, you know, Splinter died. Splinter died, really quickly on in the comic books. Right. But, what we're remembering is, the cartoon from the 90s, which, had to... The video game based off of it, and basically the movies were based off
of the live action films. Yeah, this will be a live action film as well. So, quoting Michael Bay, he said, "When you see this movie, kids are going to believe one day that these turtles actually do exist. When we are done with this movie, I used to believe that turtles existed, and
my brother's ex girlfriend used to put."
It was enough to know that they were mutants, were created in the sewers.
Exactly.
It was plausible to me. I don't see it needs to be fixed.
I used to trick kids. Actually, I was tricking myself as well, but I was like, hey, look, there's a sewer. There are turtles in there. And then everybody believed me. Because
my brother's ex-girlfriend used to write letters to them and put it down the sewer.
Awesome. Awesome.
But Michael Bay continued, "These turtles are from an alien race, and they're going to be tough, edgy, funny, and completely lovable, which is what they were when they were mutants."
The big picture is...
But they're not aliens! Sorry.
But at the end of it, it's going to mean...
You've broken the microcosm of my brain!
Yeah. At the end of the day, if we go see this movie and they say the word, there were aliens, and it's kind of like a throwaway line...
The audience is going to roll their eyes.
Yeah. I mean, everyone will roll their eyes, but in the end, if you in your mind, they're still. I mean, there's really no difference between, unless, you know, unless it completely takes place on an alien planet and there's no humans right. anywhere, it's going to be the same story with everything, except somebody's going to say, well, you guys are aliens, and then no one's going to say, no, you're wrong, we're just mutants.
Sorry. I just think of the fact that he's done Transformers. He did I Am Number 4.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like he did I Am Number 4, yes.
It
kind of feels like, because those are all alien things, he's like, you know what, we're on a roll with aliens. Aliens is in. They are in because I say they are in. So we're making them aliens. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
He makes money.
On his website, and I had to read it because
so who's
Michael Bay fashion? There's drama because of something he says, and he has to say something. So it's like fans need to take a breath and chill.
Right.
They have not read the script. Our team is working closely with one of the original creators of Ninja Turtles to help expand and give a more complex backstory. Relax. We are including everything that made you become fans in the first place. We're just building a richer world. Okay, whatever. High roll.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the movie's going to put butts in seats and make somebody a zillion dollars.
Most likely Michael Bay.
Yes, Molly, yeah.
But it's interesting.
But, I mean, he's still working for somebody. Someone hired him to do all this.
Oh, yeah, Paramount, yeah.
What are they going to tell him? No, we don't want you to make us lots of money.
Who's going to say no to him, right?
Exactly. Yeah, but interestingly enough, the Guardian, the newspaper, the Guardian, which is a British newspaper, I believe, they went for the jugular of Michael Bay, and they said making the Turtles aliens would ruin everything. Their desire to be accepted, their bizarre late 1980s street lingo, their fondness for pizza. Everything.
Yeah.
Are we really meant to believe that there's an alien race of giant turtles who just happen to be named after renowned Renaissance artists from this planet who speak English and who come to Earth with a giant elderly rat who's presumably from the same race? Oh my god, apparently British people don't put periods. Just to live in sewers and loudly eschew anchovies at every opportunity? Hardly, Michael Bay, hardly.
Does that sound like sarcasm to anyone else?
Oh yeah.
That is meant to be sarcastic, make a really good point. I mean, a lot of the reasons why they are who they are is kind of made moot by the fact that they're aliens.
I don't think it does. I mean, unless they come down from the alien planet as teenage turtles, if they come down as baby turtles from the heavens or whatever, and they're found by, I mean... If everything stays the same, I mean, seriously, there's not that much to change. Not that I feel good about this by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But
you're playing devil's advocate. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's not that much to change. If they are found as tiny babies by a giant rat in the sewers,
right?
And they're, you know, instead of being doused with chemical ooze, instead of that, they're just aliens. Then. I mean, nothing really changes. They're still growing up in New York City and, you know, eating pizza and being, you know, named after whatever.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they brought, you know, they have... So in the original comic book, they had a series of Krangs. They were like a race. They were an alien race. And it'd be interesting if they somehow said, oh, yeah, the Turtles are from that same race and they're just different, like, types of, you know... they were just some other type. They're on from the same planet, but they're just different races or something.
I mean, the point is, I think that people are going to forget about this.
Right,
or they're not going to care by the time the movie comes out, and they're going to go see it anyway.
Yeah, but apparently Robbie Rist, who was the original voice actor for Michelangelo from the original, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is furious. He said, you probably don't know me, but I did some work on the first set of movies, and you are starting to talk about sodomizing.
Oh,
ouch. God. I know believing in mutated talking turtles is kind of silly to begin with, but am I supposed to be led to believe they're ninjas from another planet? The rape of our childhood memories continues.
How silly is that? Am I supposed to believe that there are turtles living in the sewers? That's what he's saying.
Am I supposed to believe that ninjas actually exist elsewhere?
he does make a kind of point. I'm thinking, okay, just based on what John just said, you know, maybe if they're aliens, they come down as babies and they grow up and, you know, they learn all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, then why bother even putting in that point?
Yeah.
Because it just comes down to, okay, so they're really everything that we already know about them, and they're going to establish that.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, they just happen to be aliens. It's like, you know what? Why even throw that in there if it isn't going to be an important plot point that's going to, what, you know, they're going to discover they're from another planet and they have to go back. It's like, really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because when did this movie come out, Pete?
2013, Christmas.
And we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
That's smart, man.
Yeah. He might eventually take it out. But we're talking about that movie year and a half ahead of time.
That's true. Yeah. He probably
He's all about the drama effect.
He's good
the
at drama that. Effects. He is really good at that. I mean,
we're
gonna
make
you're right.
Aliens.
You're right. Maybe he's going to say, we listened to the fans. Mutants they are. And everyone's going to be happy again.
He's not doing any advertising, and it's out there. You know what I mean?
Very true.
Very good point. Very good point.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what way he spins it. Or is he going to stick with the alien vibe, or is he not?
Right. All right, well, it is...
Come back in a year and a half, and we'll discuss.
Yeah. All right, well...
The gang will now devote their time to talk about The Walking Dead.
So, in case you didn't know, The Walking Dead season... Do you hear that? Do you actually hear that?
I was hearing you talk, and then you stopped for some reason.
Oh, I was playing a little soundbite.
Okay.
I was hoping you could hear it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you did. But if you didn't, I'm sorry. So The Walking Dead, in case you didn't know, The Walking Dead season 2 finale was this past Sunday, and it grabbed some insane ratings.
Mm.
It was the highest rated episode in series history, and it delivered a 5.8 household rating for a total of 9 million viewers. It was a 51% jump from the season 1 finale. A 50% jump versus the season 1 finale from adults in the key demographic of 18 to 49. And it was just gigantic. It was huge. Everybody watched it, apparently. This entire world that wasn't watching basketball watched it. So let's get some really quick feedback really quickly. Amy, what did you think about the season 2 finale of The Walking Dead?
I have to say it definitely deserves this viewership going through the roof, because like the first, if you look at the first season, it was all right. It wasn't great, but how they've been building things, they've been doing a really good job. And so I'd have to say the fact that a lot of viewers suddenly insanely watched the ending is like, just goes to prove that they are really building it and they're doing a really good job, and this proves it. So yeah, I'm very, very happy with it. I did not see it on Sunday night because we were busy. My husband was getting ready to go out of town again. So I downloaded it and waited for him to come home and watched it last night. And it was good. It was good. It was very good. I'm like, yay, bring on season 3.
Yeah.
John, what about you?
Can I just say that I hate the Laurie character?
I agree. I agree.
She doesn't make any sense. She's on Rick's side, and then she's not on Rick's side. She's on Shane's side. Now she's on Rick's side. And it's like...
Now she's not anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, can I just say spoiler, you know, because we're going to be talking
spoil
about
it. Do it. Just spoilers, yeah.
Obviously, it happened last week, but, like, how can you be upset that he killed Shane? Obviously, it's the only thing you could have done. It's the only thing you could have done.
She's
been the wise...
out of his way to try and kill Rick. I mean, come on.
Plus, she's been planting the idea that Shane is dangerous from the beginning.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And like for her to flip-flop like that, it makes her totally unlikable. And I thought that she was going to die. And I was hoping that she was going to die. I was really concerned for Andrea because I thought she was going to die.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They left her.
Yeah. Yeah, they left her. Well, that was crazy.
Yeah. I also thought that Herschel was going to die because he refused to leave the house.
Yeah.
You know,
tension.
Minor characters were gotten rid of.
Which annoyed me. Kind of feel like they should have killed off somebody bigger. Lori or T-Dog or...
It thins out the cast a little bit so they don't have to, you know, what purpose does the other son have? Do you know what I mean?
What purpose does the little girl have? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, nothing. She could be seen as a possible friend for Carl. Or so, you know, they're not very close in age, but they're, you know, close enough where she could be a babysitter or something. So it's not, you know, why are they just leaving Carl alone? You know what I mean?
Yeah, since apparently Lori just, you've got a point, because Lori consistently goes, can you watch Carl? I have to do some stuff to do.
Right.
So she tells the girl, hey, can you watch Carl? I have some stuff to do. Like, plant more ideas in other people's minds and then get pissed at them when they do exactly what I wanted them to do.
The very last scene, I think it was the last scene, two of the last scenes, when they kind of panned up and showed the prison. Mm-hmm. Anyone who never read the comic books has no idea what that is.
Yeah, they have no idea. What was that? It's like, you'll see.
Right. to us, it's like, okay, you know, that's a logical next step. They're going to go to the prison because that's what happened in the comic books. But for everyone else, it's like, okay, they showed a building off in the distance.
Well, I was never that far into the comic, so I actually have no idea what transpires in the prison.
Well, I mean, it's not that anything particular happens there, but, you know, it's the next place that they go to and they stay for a long time because it's a safe haven.
Right.
But that's the whole point that they were getting at, is that they don't have a safe haven now. And now that they're not on the farm anymore, I mean, you definitely feel the tension of anything can happen. We're exposed. And, you know, that was the new setting that gave them a place to be safe.
But my other issue with that was that it was nighttime in the show, but it was dark and you couldn't really tell it was a prison. It just looked like a big building.
I could tell it was a prison.
To me, it just looked like a big building. You know what I mean?
But I thought it was a very interesting symbolism, right? Because it was like, okay, these guys, they feel like they're stuck right now and they have to find a way to get back to being safe again and finding a stronghold. But at the same time, after Rick completely confesses about, like, you know, not, you know, wholeheartedly just says, I killed Shane for all of you.
And I thought that was a really good part of the show, because, like, look. The whole season, it seems like a lot of my friends on Facebook have been saying, oh, Rick is such a, you know, I'll say another word, he's been such a baby, you know, what is this, what's wrong with this guy? He's not leaving the group, he wants to be in charge, but he doesn't take charge, and it's like, alright, he finally took charge of the group, and everyone hates him for it, you know what I mean?
Everyone is scared shitless.
And he's like, I thought it was so funny, because he was like, you want to leave? There's a door. And it was like...
There is no door.
It was openings in the brick, and I was like, there's no door.
Yeah, but I find that kind of a symbolic thing was because it was like, now that, you know, they're going to find a prison, they're going to find a stronghold, which is what they were striving for. But at the same time, it's a prison. And everybody... Mm-hmm. And Rick is now no longer leading by democracy. He's leading by fear, right? And he was like, pretty much, if you cross me, you end up dead.
And that happened in the comic book, too.
He did get to that point, yeah.
It didn't happen until they were in the prison, but he was like, he basically said, you know, we don't kill humans, and then something happens in the prison, and he's just like, you know what, I had to do it, and you know what, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
So it did follow that in the comic book a little bit, but not in the same exact way at all. Mm-hmm. So, and then obviously the other scene with... the quote-unquote ninja, whatever one was calling her.
Yeah. You can say her name if you know.
I could, but I don't know how to pronounce it properly.
Is it Michonne?
Is it Michonne? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Looks
I'm
French.
Not sure I would guess,
it looks French.
I read it.
Michonne.
there was actually in the Robert Kirkman has people write letters to him in the back of the comic books. And there was a big, extensive, conversation about how to pronounce her name one time, and I just completely forget it, so.
Whoops.
I thought that was great. She walks around with like a katana and with two zombies on chains.
Yes, that's they have their arms cut off.
Yeah, with their arms cut off and like and chains in their mouths, I guess, right? Like that's what
no, it's around their
it's around their neck.
Around
their like, necks, okay.
Yeah, like dog. I mean, there's a and they in the again in the comic books they she does explain why she does that, and I can't really remember it. I think it's so that you know other zombies see her walking with zombies, so they think that she's a zombie or something like that.
Yeah.
It's protection, basically.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that we were. I wanted to go back. I actually I took the time and went back to our previous Walking Dead discussion of when the season two was the fall finale took place, and I will give some kudos to Amy for you were just throwing stuff off the top of your head. You're like, what happens if walkers invade the farm one day? And then.
And then it was going to happen. I mean,
yeah, but it was going to eventually everyone. Happen. I mean,
yeah,
come
but,
on.
But it's interesting to see that, like, they were all from that herd of highway walkers that you know they evaded in the beginning, right in the beginning of the season. So yeah. It's interesting to see them, you know, that roundabout to come back and say, oh, this is they are going to eat everyone now.
Yeah. But I mean, it's funny because it's obvious that they wanted to keep Herschel alive because if they wanted to kill him off, then they would have just left.
Right,
well, they would have left the farm, you know, four episodes ago. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I
but
think
since like
yeah.
they kept them at the farm, and then they showed him having to leave the farm and having to go with the group.
Yeah,
so
I feel like
keep it with them.
I don't know. Let me know if you guys think this too. I don't know if this is in the same as the comic, but Herschel, I believe, is going to play a big way of being like the anchor for Rick, right? Because at one point Herschel was like, whatever Rick says is Rick goes, and he seemed to be the only person who just couldn't care less that Shane was dead and that he killed him, because he knew that Shane was bad news and he knew that it must have been done.
Well, I mean, I think that it's funny that you say that, because I think that what the hell is his name, the Hick guy,
Daryl.
I think that he is going to be the anchor for Rick.
Okay.
Because for almost the exact same reason, where he was like, look, Shane killed Randall.
Just like he always wanted to, yeah.
Right, there's no way that, you know, he just, you know, he happened to just turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
So I think that it will be like a joint. I mean, Herschel will be, I think, the moral foundation for the group.
Now that Andrew.
Sort of like, now that Andrew is missing and what's his name is dead.
Dale,
yeah.
Dale,
so
yeah.
With his torso ripped open.
Yeah.
It was either going to be Rick or it was going to be Dale that Shane was going to try and kill, because I thought for sure when Dale confronted him. Oh, sorry.
I get what you're saying.
Sorry about that.
No,
sorry.
It's okay.
I thought that for sure when he confronted Shane, that Shane was going to kill him right there. And so when he didn't, I thought, okay, how is this going to go? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like a lot of the points that what you're saying, John. It's, you know, I agree with them.
So I think that everyone's going to be scared of Rick, but I don't think that anyone... I mean, look, who's going to... Now that Shane is gone, it's sort of a weird dynamic, because now that Shane is gone, who's going to have the balls to stand up to Rick? You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Oh, no one.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one that really could would be Daryl, and I think that Daryl would rather be like, you know what, let me just go along with this, and if I'm not going to go along with it, I'll just leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, Rick was like, he's like, no, Rick has done right by me. So I think he's always going to keep that in his mind, that he's like, Rick has always done right. You know, he's always, you know, when I go into the brink, he always brings me back one way or another to try to bring me back and help me. So it's definitely a lot easier. You're right. So Daryl and Herschel, it was definitely Rick who brought both of them back from the brink, right? Herschel
right.
with his drinking and just wanting to die in the beginning, in the first episode since when it came back
right.
From the break. It was like he was the one who brought him back, and he was the one who helped him. Continue and have faith in the human race.
Yeah.
So,
Well, if you think about it, what Shane did pretty much is exactly what happened when they were in the bar at that moment, when the two guys drew on him. It's like, Shane was pretty much had drawn on him as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I if he'd say it, the way he said it, his presentation is what's scaring everybody. And in the comics, it was the wife that actually pulls him back. Every single time when he makes a decision, they have this conversation. And she's the one that keeps him grounded. So it'll be interesting to see who is it going to be that's going to keep him grounded. Because in the comics, it was his wife.
Who is now turned on him.
Yeah, who's now not on his side. Because
because it's all her fault.
I think that easily could fall to Carl also. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's a kid. He's not going to...
Yeah.
But,
as a moral, he doesn't have enough experience to actually be a moral center, unless it's just going to be just to inspire Dad to choose right things.
And I mean, they kind of alluded to that with Herschel, because he was like, "Look, you have one responsibility right now to keep him alive." And in the comics, I mean, a lot of stuff happens between the time that they get to the prison and where they are now. But obviously, Carl is what Rick has left at this point in the comic books. So it's like, you know, like, look, his moral foundation comes from keeping his son alive. Mm-hmm. No matter who else is around. I mean, look, he might look differently at his wife now that his wife is mad at him that he killed Shane. So he might not even, it's a weird thing for me to say, because they're, you know, they're husband and wife, and they've been together through a lot and this and that, but I mean, he might not care what she has to say about stuff as much anymore, because she has for some reason flipped the switch on essentially his enemy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So look, there's a lot that can happen, and I think that there's a lot to go through before, you know, the next inevitable confrontation, which is going to happen at some point next season.
Right.
So, I'm excited to see what happens, and, you know, definitely can't wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, bring on season three.
Yeah, and what I do really like about was that they do change a lot of things from the comic, right? Because they're definitely not, pound for pound being what the comic book is. They've killed off characters. They've kept some alive. They've introduced characters later or earlier or not at all and things like that. So,
and they sort of have to. I mean,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Because
they could have done it the easy way, but they decided not to.
I don't think that they ever could have done it the easy way, because there's a certain flow that the comic book has. They come out once a month. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to take that in grain when, you know, okay, they found the farm and they're, you know, getting things situated. And, you know, there could be a whole year of episodes where they're on the farm, or a year of issues where they're on the farm. You go back and read it, it seems to go by pretty quick because there's only 12 issues. Mm-hmm. If there's 12 episodes of a season of 13 episodes where they're on the farm, the viewers get antsy. I mean,
that's very true. That's very true.
That is what happens too, right?
Right. And us as
in
people
six episodes.
Read the comic
They can't afford to have as huge a cast as what's in the comics. I mean, the comics do have a little bit bigger of a cast, but they have more time to flesh it out and do things. Whereas when it's on the screen, they have a budget that they have to hit as well. And they also, so it's like, in addition to what John has suggested, where, you know, it's not going to, if you're going three or four episodes, you're like, okay, you know, we need to move somewhere.
Where's the drama? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But then on top of that, you have to think of the cost and how costly it would be to actually do issue to issue to issue on TV. That's going to be enormous. And,
right.
You know, for a show that's still kind of, until this season, it was still establishing itself. I think that would be completely unrealistic.
You could easily read the first three trades of the comic book, all 18 issues, in like a half an hour.
Yeah,
because there's not a whole
lot. It does go fast. Yeah.
There's not a lot of dialogue. It's all in black and white, and it's like they're like screen captures, basically like a flip book kind of.
Yeah.
The way the frames are drawn out.
I've spent hours on the comic, not even realizing it, and going, "Oh my gosh, this is so intense!" And
right.
then you keep going because it flows so well. But yeah.
that time would just fly by, and in filming, they would have to use like you know 5 or 6 issues to do what they would do on a TV show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So on one episode, so they sort of had to change it a little bit, but at this point. You know, sorry about that.
Now it's his turn. Now it's my turn. Wait, hang on a second. Is it my turn yet? Somebody call me!
I'm sorry I didn't have it on vibrate.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
The way that they couldn't... They had to change it a little bit because of, you know, the dynamics between the characters and the way that, you know, TV shows are made. So...
Yeah.
As much as the fans of the comic book wanted to see it go that way, there was no way that they could.
Right.
Yep.
All right. We're very Great. Good. Obviously, we were we really enjoyed the season 2. It got off a little slow, but I guess we could all agree that it definitely picked up in the second half.
I still think they could have done things with Shane. They didn't necessarily have to kill him.
They still could have used him.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
look, there's a character that they've already cast for the third season called the Governor. Mm-hmm. Peter obviously has not got that far, but there was a point there in the season where Rick and Shane were fighting, and Shane threw a huge wrench at Rick, and it went through a window, and a bunch of zombies came out of a building.
Yep.
And then they were, you know, they got split up, and Shane was trapped in a bus, and Rick drove away. And I was thinking when I was watching that episode, wow, they're going to make Shane the Governor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, "Oh gosh,
wow!" He's gonna leave.
That would have been that much more epic if they had done that. Oh my gosh!
Right. And I still think that they could have. I mean, there was a point where they could have kept that as a thing, where like, you know, okay, Shane got away, and now he's gonna come back and you know take his vengeance out on Rick and the gang.
And it would make perfect sense for that character to do that too, because of how they built it up. Oh,
right,
wow.
and plus like. It's going to take all season for us to know who the governor is and, you know, why he is the way he is and this and that. And then I don't even know if they're going to get to the part, you know, where he comes back to attack them and blah, 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 blah. So they could have bypassed a lot of that if they just had Shane become the governor.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen the way they do. So I still have faith in them. I'm not unhappy with the season the way that it turned out. But I think they could have really turned the story on its head a little bit and, you know, kept Shane alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the other thing is it, predictability, at least this last episode, when the walkers showed up, because it doesn't happen in the comic book, I thought, you know, anybody can die at this point. And I was like, nobody is safe. And if they had done that, then it would have been like, okay, now Shane's the governor, and it would turn a lot of things on its head. It would make the air of unpredictability in the storyline. Mm-hmm. So you would be guessing, okay, what's going to happen next? What are they going to change? What are they going to keep the same? And now it just seems like, oh, I'm kind of glad they're going toward what they established in the comics a little bit more. But then at the same time, it's going to take away that air of nobody is safe.
Right.
It's going to be like, now I'm going to start being able to predict the story because it's going too close to what the comic has been. So
right.
I'm like,
I actually thought Rick was going to die a little bit. There was like, wow. They could really throw a wrench in the works if Rick dies right now.
Right. Yeah. If they had Shane off Rick instead of the other way around, that would have been.
Well, not even that. Like, if Rick somehow got overtaken by a zombie horde, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to save Carl.
Yeah.
And you know, Carl's got the whole idea of like, wow, Shane's dead now. Rick's dead. You know, who's going to lead the group?
That would have been.
That could have led to a dynamic of, you know, maybe Daryl's like, you know, I don't want to keep this group together, but what else am I going to do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you see him grow a little bit as a character. But you know what? I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, Rick could have been where Andrea is right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's definitely interesting because it appears that the reason that they killed off Shane, they always said they were going to kill him off. But that is definitely what you guys are talking about. It's definitely, it definitely does feel like an interestingly missed opportunity to kind of completely deviate at least one character and kind of merge those two characters together and kind of have that kind of an interesting take on that character. John Berenthal, since Frank Darabont left, he is doing a new show called L.A. Noire. John Berenthal, who plays Shane, was in negotiations to be in that cast. So some believe that that's probably why they went through with it completely, because they, because he wanted out, I guess. So, but that's definitely interesting. It would have.
Isn't that a video game?
Yes, it is. Oddly enough. But the game, hopefully it doesn't follow the game, because that story was not very good.
They'll make it better.
I don't think it's adapted. Yeah, I do not think it's adapted from the video game, because I mean obviously it's a noir, and a lot of noir films and shows and stories take place in LA or New York kind of thing. So I think it's just a coincidence.
Okay.
Actually, it doesn't have the E. That's a difference. That's what makes it different. But that's great. Thank you guys for your great discussion. This is definitely, we will have to now wait until The Walking Dead returns in the fall with 16 episodes. Most likely they'll have a fall finale, a winter finale, a summer finale, and another spring finale or something like that.
That'd be cool. A whole year of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But it would be like 3-episode chunks, which would not be very awesome. But all right, so that's very good. Thank you guys for your discussions. This is a great spot to wrap up episode 20. John Denny, Amy Morgan, all as always, if you have any questions or comments, be sure to leave them on the Facebook page or screenview at tfradio.net. And we will see you guys next time.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
I know they've torn something apart because I heard it while I was recording.
Did you say they broke something?